AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
It is 8:06 in the morning, and we do say good morning on Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Friday. We have arrived at Friday, the 11th of April. And we thank you for joining us here this morning. First part of the program, actually, it's going to be me. We don't have a guest for the first part of the show this morning. Second half of the show, though, Danny Cosgrove is going to join us, Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. Going to talk about, and it's something we talked about on this show before. My only problem is I can't remember how to pronounce the little critter's name. We've talked about this with folks in the Oregon Zoo in the past. Discovery Center is involved in this. The Cascades, I forget whether it's Pika or Pika, P-I-K-A, and I forget how to pronounce it. But they're a little animal that I guess usually it lives at high elevation, if I remember right, but it's been found at lower elevations in the gorge. And there is some question of whether this is an indicator of or a byproduct of climatic changes. So we're going to talk to Danny about the training that's available and about this little animal, why it's being studied so closely. That'll be coming up, though, at 8:30 this morning. But first, before we do anything else here, let's do what we always do and tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1814, Napoleon Bonaparte abdicated as Emperor of the French, who was banished to the island of Elba. Napoleon later escaped from Elba and returned to power in March of 1815 until his downfall in the Battle of Waterloo in June of 1815. 1865, President Abraham Lincoln spoke to a crowd outside the White House saying, "We meet this evening not in sorrow, but in gladness of heart." It was the last public address Lincoln would deliver. He would die 4 days later after being shot by John Wilkes Booth. This day in 1945, during World War II, U.S. Army troops liberated the Nazi concentration camp Buchenwald near Weimar, Germany. 1951, President Harry S. Truman relieved General Douglas MacArthur of his command, following multiple public statements by MacArthur that contradicted official U.S. policies. 1961, former SS officer Adolf Eichmann went on trial in Israel, charged with crimes against humanity for his role in the Nazi Holocaust. Eichmann was later convicted and executed. 1968, President Lyndon B. Johnson is signed the law, the Civil Rights Act of 1968, which included the Indian Civil Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act, 1 week after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. 1970, Apollo 13 with astronauts James Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Jack Swigert blasted off on its ill-fated mission up to the moon. Though the mission was aborted after a spacecraft oxygen tank exploded 2 days after liftoff, the crew splashed down safely in the Pacific Ocean on April 17. 1980, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission published guidelines stating that sexual harassment in the workplace was unlawful sex discrimination and violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And in 2012, George Zimmerman, the Florida Neighborhood Watch volunteer who fatally shot 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. He was acquitted at trial. Days for today. It is Barbershop Quartet Day today. It's also International Louie Louie Day. It's after the birthday of the writer of the song. It's National Dive Bar Day today, so if you are someone who frequents that sort of place, this is your day. It's National 8-Track Tape Day. They were a step toward cassettes, which I may not have helped for our younger audience when I said cassettes. But 8 tracks were really the first somewhat portable tape. Now, if you look at them, they were about, they were bigger than an iPhone. Wider, most notably. But they were a step from reel to reel, which is the first tape that really you could have in your home. And I remember my dad had 8 tracks. They didn't last long because cassettes came right afterwards. Much smaller, much easier to deal with. And of course, then cassettes gave way to CDs. And now we are where we're at today, where it's digital MP3s, etc. Yeah, my dad, I remember vividly. He had the duet of a home hi-fi equipment that didn't last long. 8-track tapes and quadraphonic. Quadraphonic was going to be the next step from stereo. It was 4 speakers instead of 2, basically. It did not catch on to any real extent. I don't think it improved things enough. It's kind of like every time we try to do 3D television, and it just never really makes it because there's just too many hurdles to it and too much to it and doesn't do enough really to make people make you jump and want to do it. You know, what has seemed to have caught on more is the consistently improving high definition of television. I've gone off astray here, but I've got time this morning to do that, so I went a little astray. Also, it's National Pet Day today, by the way. So the other day, I think we had Hug Your Dog Day. So be sure to, you know, pet your dog, pet your cat, whatever it is to show your affection. For food today, it's National Cheese Fondue Day today. And it's also in Canada, apparently, National Poutine Day today. French fries, brown gravy, and cheese curds. I believe Quebec claims origination of that, but that is, it's one of those things. It's like hamburgers and a few other things. I believe it's in dispute. I don't know that you see it much on this side of the 49th parallel. Sounds pretty good. We tend to do more cheese fries or go right to nachos. I'm not that big on just putting stuff on my French fries. I'm good with a little salt and a nice good crispy French fry. I think that works for me. Maybe some ketchup or barbecue sauce. I don't know if I need to make them, you know, drippy and sticky and even less healthy than perhaps they are. Depends how you make French fries. But if you throw cheese or gravy and cheese curds or whatever on them, then yes, then they do become they are unhealthy probably for you at that point. But they do taste good and they're nice and warm. So there it is for what it's worth. Maybe not a whole lot. 8:13 in the morning. I've got, I think, one thing you'll be interested in at least. Might stroll onto a soapbox at some point. Again, 8:30, Danny Cosgrove will join us. More on Columbia Today after this.
There's still time to save with Cascade Farm and Outdoors' latest mailer. Find it online or pick up a copy in store. Get your yard and garden ready and save on real wood cedar raised beds. Jumbo 6-packs of annuals and veggies are 2 for $7. Plus, save big on Scott's bagged bark mulch and grass seed. They're both on sale now. Don't miss out on the big store-wide savings going on now through April 15th at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest, homegrown, honest values.
These days, figuring out what, where, and how to watch TV is out of control. And so is the cost. That's why I'm psyched I found Philo. Live TV from A&E, Discovery, MTV, and all the channels I love. A huge library of movies and shows. And an unlimited DVR to save them. I also get AMC Plus and all their blockbuster hits. All this for just $28 a month when you sign up at philo.tv. Give it a try. Risk-free at philo.tv.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind. For all our customers, existing and new, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
During spring, weather conditions can make protecting our vital crops very difficult. Be listening for the Bi-Coastal Media Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers Frost Reports every evening with meteorologist Jeff Lindsley on KIHR and KCGB. It's vital information for growers, gardeners, and hobbyists. Brought to you by Duckwall Fruit, Chad Munzer Repair, Diamond Fruit, Umpqua Bank, Hood River Supply, Orchard View Farms, Carson Propane, and Mount Adams Fruit.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it's 8:16 in the morning. I know a lot of you are like me, at least some of you, I'm not sure a lot of you, following the Masters. Here's what's going on this morning. Justin Rose is one under through eight holes of round two. Of course, he had the big seven under yesterday, take a three-shot lead. He's at eight under now through eight holes, and he still has a three-shot lead as Ludvig Åberg is at five under right now. He is after four holes of his round. He was at four under after yesterday. Bryson DeChambeau has gone one under for three holes as a birdie on two, so he is at four under right now through three holes. Corey Connors, Scotty Scheffler also at four under. They have not started yet. McIlroy, by the way, Rory McIlroy, remember, yesterday was at four under through 14 holes. Double bogeyed 15 and 17, ended up at even. He picked up a birdie on two. He's now at one under through four holes. He's been playing very well. I suspect he's going to be in this thing. There'll be some moves made. It's very early in that tournament. The back nine on Sunday will be worth watching, almost certainly. Something will happen. It's not my favorite major golf tournament. A lot of people I know get into the Masters. I really just kind of get tired of the romanticism around it. I like the U.S. Open and the British Open. Probably the British Open at the top, then slightly behind the U.S. Open. I like what they do, especially in the U.S. Open. I like what they do to the courses. I want to see these guys really have to battle a course. And you don't really get that from the Masters. You can see some great shot making at the Masters, though. But I'm not a big fan of the of how when Jim Nantz starts waxing poetic about it. I can do without that. I'm not that interested. I'm interested because it is a major golf tournament, and I want to see the major golfers and the competition and the battle. But probably of the four majors, this is for it actually probably is for me the least interesting. I probably prefer the PGA anymore over the Masters. And I know that's sacrilege to some folks in around golf. I just prefer the two Opens. The British Open has such history. Such history. More so in the Masters. But anyway, I digress, which I will do a couple times here in the next 5 or 6 minutes. I was going to mention, as long as I had the chance to, I didn't get this story on during our newscast, and I didn't hear it on national. It may have been earlier yesterday it was on at that level. Egg prices went up again last month. $6.23 a dozen. That is a new record high. They were at $5.90 in February. January, they were at $4.95 a dozen. Now, there is good news. There had been some thought that, and that's the industry experts were thinking that average price was going to drop because wholesale egg prices did fall significantly in March. We're kind of coming out of the bird flu outbreak. More than 30 million egg-laying chickens were killed to prevent spread of the bird flu. However, in March, only 2.1 million were slaughtered, and none of them were on egg farms. However, according to an economist from the U of Arkansas, Jada Thompson, the wholesale price did not start dropping until mid-March. So apparently there wasn't maybe quite enough time for the average price for the month to decline. So grocery stores may not immediately pass that on to you. But hopefully here in the next little while, especially after Easter, because egg demand elevates at Easter. And after that, maybe we should expect the egg prices to fall back. Which would be a good news, given everything else that's going on. Of course, I also find it interesting that, you know, Easter eggs, I know they're traditional. I get that. But let's be honest. If you give a child a choice between a boiled egg with that's colored or a chocolate Easter egg, which one do you think they're going to take? I mean, we'll be doing a Bi-Coastal Media at Lewis Clark Festival Park next Saturday, the 19th, 11 o'clock in the morning. I'll throw in the shameless plug. With Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda and a number of other sponsors, the Easter Egg Scramble. And you'll note we don't use boiled eggs. We put out the candy provided by a lot of sponsors, and with some plastic eggs with certificates in them for prizes. Not going with a traditional egg hunt. I'm not even sure I would have to look to see what we officially call the event. If it's the egg scramble or if it's the Easter scramble. Shows how tuned in I am to this and the inner workings of the company. Can't even tell you what the name of the promotion is. That's not good, by the way. I can probably look it up, though. I do know, though, people enjoy it. It's 11 o'clock at Lewis and Clark Festival Park in the Dalles on Saturday of next weekend, the 19th. Don't go this Saturday. It won't work. You're waiting for next Saturday. Now, we call it the Easter Egg Scramble. We do call it that. Columbia Gorge Toyota and Honda very much involved there. Now, also I'll mention Hood River, the community Easter Egg Hunt will be at Jackson Park. And that'll be on the 19th. And I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know what time it starts, the egg hunt itself. I know there is a safety fair there that will take place from 10 until noon. So you have a chance to check that out. And it doesn't have the egg hunt time on what I've got here. I want to say 11 o'clock, but I'm not completely sure of that. I'll try to find that and pass it along a little bit later on here. But that's Leia's in egg news. What's going on with eggs? I was going to get into schools a little bit here, but I also know my clock's running out, and I want to do the news when we get to Danny Cosgrove from the Discovery Center. You know, we just had in our news, you'll hear it here in a moment, Hood River County School Board heard from Superintendent Bill Newton about the positions they'll be cut. Well, numbers of positions. They did not get into specific positions. They don't want to do that quite yet because there's a process going on. Yeah, I think understandably so. I mean, the last thing I want to do in the media personally is inform somebody they've lost their job. That's terrible. So it was about the numbers of positions, not positions themselves, except for one that they'd already announced, an executive director position in the administration. That was already announced. Part of a shuffle they were doing. 6.5 elementary school teaching positions in Hood River County schools. 2.5 at middle schools, just over 4 Hood River Valley High School. It's like 4.17. Plus instructional coaches, some classified positions. 2 1/3 more district-wide positions. It's in response, A, to rising costs of doing business. They've got PERS costs coming. Also, enrollment declining. And that's due to a number of factors, some involving, for Hood River County School District, the home costs here. How does a young family live here? And then also, you know, birth rates are down. And so you're seeing this all over. So there is an element to this of trying to get balance for what enrollments are going to be now. That's a part of this, not all of it. Some of it's also the money issue. You know, the Oregon legislature, they based the budget in Hood River on, I'm not sure on D21 or some of the others, but this will not be the only time we hear about this. K-12 education, I think it's 11.38, I think was the governor's number. And I know Hood River is basing it on that number. And that seems to be the number that everybody's hanging around at, by the way. Schools will tell you, the school advocates, that's not enough. You may be pointing out it never seems like the number has been enough. You're not wrong in that impression. But every time we go through this, I do come back to, what are we asking schools to do today that we didn't used to ask them to do? And if we're honest with ourselves, we ask them to do a lot more. I've always wanted to go take a budget from like the 70s. I would want to grab a budget, or maybe even the early 80s. I'd want to grab a budget for a school district after female athletics became the norm. Because if you take, well, if you go back to 1970, that number is going to be completely skewed because you've added athletics for young women that you absolutely should be doing. I mean, yeah, and some of these things I would find in there, I'm sure you should do. So that's what I just use that kind of as a benchmark. Is okay, you include that. Yeah, so that's why I think early 80s might be a good place to start to take a budget and really look at what's changed. And what we maybe have abdicated to schools to provide that were provided elsewhere or, frankly, provided in the family, et cetera. Yeah, I'm getting tired of doing the school cut stories. I've done those for years. I've you do them enough, and, you know, I always worry that when we go through this, it's eventually the rank and file students that are getting hurt here through this. And we've got to stop this roller coaster. Just have to. Of course, that will take will and work. We'll see. I'll get off the soapbox now. I end up getting on it. 8:28 in the morning. We'll do the news for you. Danny Cosgrove after that on Mid-Columbia Today.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of fresh baked goodies, handcrafted treasures, and more. It's time for the Blossom Craft and Quilt Show, celebrating 28 years of kicking off craft season in Hood River. Explore 70 vendors offering everything from jewelry and patio decor to plants, quilting, and pastries. Rain or shine, we're blooming with fun. So grab your umbrella and sunglasses. You'll need both for the Blossom Craft and Quilt Show. This weekend, 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4 at the Hood River Fairgrounds. And let's spring into shopping.
Love wine? Love art? Love a good time? Then don't miss the Columbia Gorge Wine Festival May 10th at the Hood River Fairgrounds. Sample wines from 15 Gorge wineries, savor artisan cheese and chocolate, explore handcrafted wine barrel furniture, and enjoy live music all day. Limited to 1,000 guests, so get your $30 advance tickets now at TicketTomato.com or $35 at the door. Includes an etched wine glass and 5 tastings. Sip, savor, and celebrate at the Columbia Gorge Wine Festival May 10th at the Hood River Fairgrounds.
With warm weather fast approaching, now's the time to test your vehicle's air conditioning system. Not blowing very cold or not cold at all? It's time to call the experts at Precision Automotive. They're trained and certified to repair your vehicle's air conditioning system. And they offer same-day service at competitive prices. Give Chris or Alina a call at 541-296-5153 and get that AC blowing cool. Precision Automotive, 296-5153, or on the web at precisionautotd.com.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles baseball and softball. Stay with KIHR, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM, and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles action all season long. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Windmaster Market, Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpet, XTC Truck and Toy, and Columbia River Insurance.
The Eagle baseball team hosts Ida B. Wells Friday at 4:45 on KIHR.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:30 in the morning, let's take a look at what is in the news today. The Hood River County School Board heard from Superintendent Bill Newton, as I was mentioning earlier, about personnel reductions planned as the district seeks to balance its budget for the 2025-26 school year in the face of declining enrollment and increasing costs. Those cuts include the full-time equivalent of 6.5 elementary school teaching positions, 2.5 at middle schools, just over 4 teaching positions at Hood River Valley High School. Cuts are also proposed in instructional coaches and classified positions, and a reduction of 2 1/3 district-wide positions, plus an executive director that was already announced. Newton told the board he was particularly disappointed reducing the instructional coach positions, as he was noting that research shows that having instructional coaches for the teachers improves student outcomes. Newton says a reduction in force process is underway with notifications to be done next week. The district's budget committee will begin to meet later this month. Oregon State Schools Chief said that the state will not comply with the Trump administration's ultimatum to shut down diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in its public schools or risk losing federal funding. The Oregonian Oregon Live reporting, Charlene Williams wrote in her response to federal officials, "There's no circumstance where it's okay to leverage children's resources as a political tool," adding Oregonians have paid for and deserve federal investments. Williams added Oregon believes it's already in compliance with federal law that prohibits discrimination based on race, color, or national origin, as repeatedly certified to the U.S. Department of Education. And if the Trump administration wants to change rules around equity and inclusion, it would need to go through required rulemaking processes. The Trump administration's contention is that rather than account for historical inequities, such programs unfairly advantage one race over another and must be discontinued. Federal education officials relying on a 2023 Supreme Court decision that outlawed race-based affirmative action admissions programs at colleges and universities, but it makes no mention of K-12 schools. Legal experts say the law is on Oregon's side. A bill designed to repeal Oregon's controversial wildfire hazard map and property regulations connected to it has cleared a committee. It's on its way to the Oregon Senate for a vote. The Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Wildfire voted unanimously to eliminate the map, first introduced in 2021. The Community Review Board tasked with assessing Oregon Health and Science University's proposed takeover of Legacy Health has disapproved of the merger, but it could still happen, as the Oregon Health Authority's Healthcare Market Oversight Program will have the ultimate say on whether the merger can move through. Weather forecast: sunny in the Hood River area, partly cloudy in the Dalles area, highs upper 50s to low 60s. West winds to 15 miles per hour, gustier in the Dalles and the Eastern Gorge. Currently 48 in the Dalles, 47 in Hood River. It is 6:33.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Looking for treasures and a great cause? Come to Rummage for a Reason, the Soroptimist Rummage Sale, April 12th at the White Salmon Grange. Shop gently used clothes, household items, and more, all while supporting education and training programs for women and girls here in the Gorge. Every dollar raised helps women live their dreams through economic empowerment thanks to Soroptimist volunteers dedicated to making a difference. Find your next favorite thing and give back at Rummage for a Reason, April 12th from 9 to 5 at the White Salmon Grange.
Starting with one store in 1978, Boot Barn has become the largest Western and workwear retailer in the nation, supporting those who feed, build, and protect America. We offer the largest selection of cowboy boots, work boots, Western wear, workwear, and outdoor gear. With over 500,000 pairs of boots and thousands of top quality jeans and clothing, it's an honor to support the people who make our country so great. Boot Barn. Keep West.
During spring, weather conditions can make protecting our vital crops very difficult. Be listening for the Bi-Coastal Media Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers Frost Reports every evening with meteorologist Jeff Lindsley on KIHR and KCGB. It's vital information for growers, gardeners, and hobbyists. Brought to you by Duckwall Fruit, Chad Munzer Repair, Diamond Fruit, Umpqua Bank, Hood River Supply, Orchard View Farms, Carson Propane, and Mount Adams Fruit.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:35 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today from the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. Danny Cosgrove joins us now. Good morning, Danny.
All right, Mark, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on the program. We're going to start out and talk about something that actually I've talked before in the past, not this year, though, with folks from the Oregon Zoo about, and that is there is a small little animal in the gorge. I'm going to confess I can't remember how to pronounce the name, but the Discovery Center is taking part in a training to help people learn how they can be spotters for these animals.
Yeah, so we're getting people ready to take surveys for pika. And, if your audience isn't familiar, they're just about the cutest residents of the gorge, though they just don't get much publicity, though they sure should. They're related to rabbits. They're about the size of a potato, very fluffy. And their most endearing characteristic is they sound very much like a dog's squeaky toy. They give a little eep as you walk by before they disappear into their holes.
And the Oregon Zoo, they've been involved in this for a while as a citizen science project. They've been involved in tracking these animals in the gorge, haven't they?
Yes. They have empowered a small army of people who go out throughout the summer, sit for 20 minutes in a designated spot along the trail, listen and look for pika, and then log their data. And because the Oregon Zoo is so quick to get on this, this population in the gorge is just unexpected. Pika are known for being up above tree lines, I think, well, up at timberline in those rock slopes. But for some interesting kind of explorative reasons, those pika are along the Columbia River Gorge, just thousands of feet lower than you would expect. And so people have been surveying them for some years now. And one of the nice things about the Oregon Zoo moving so quickly and getting started so early was that they had a good data set of pika populations and spread in the gorge before the Eagle Creek fire, have continued their work afterwards and have been able to map and track their rebound. And from what I understand, pika are doing pretty well even after the fire.
If I recall when I've talked about this subject before, and I had the person, I wish I could remember her name, it's just eluding me here, who is running the project, came on the show, I think, about a year ago. And, you know, one of the reasons that this is so fascinating is, as you mentioned, pikas tend to be up in the higher elevations. And trying to figure out why they've come down low in the gorge might help bring us closer to some answers about some other questions that might revolve particularly around our changing climate.
Definitely. It would be a great case study for the resilience of the species in different temperatures as we might see as we move forward. And so the most important and actually kind of the most expensive data set that would help you scientists look into pikas and their response is, where are they, how many are there, and how are those populations changing from year to year? There's just no way the Oregon Zoo can pay for people to go sit on the trail throughout the summer, all throughout the gorge, and yet that small team, I think of up to 300 active volunteers, after an initial training, they're empowered to log them, sit surveys, is what they're kind of informally known as, throughout the summer, send their data in, and that's given the Oregon Zoo just a really good and useful data set for, tracking how this really unique population might respond to different disturbances like a changing climate.
Now, the good news about that is, while you can't pay for them, a lot of people like to go out on those trails, and why not count some pikas while you're out there anyway? And this circles around, you're going to do a volunteer training sometime in May, I think, at the Discovery Center.
Yes, it's on May 10th, so that's a Saturday. It'll run from 10 to 2. You, of course, become knowledgeable about pikas, about the program, get set up with some data sheets and things, do some practice about what a pika looks like and what they sound like, which is kind of the fun part. And then, throughout the rest of the summer, you can start taking those survey plots. And I am just a little early in celebrating this because the registration link on the Oregon Zoo's website is going to go live later this week. If people go to the Oregon Zoo website, click on Wildlife, they'll see Cascades Pika Watch. And right now, they'll just see a May 10th registration in the gorge coming soon. Well, that'll show up this week, so keep an eye on it. And then, of course, after a little time goes by, if you just haven't found success, give us a call at the Discovery Center, and we'll be able to help you get your registration done.
And the good news for people who would like to try this out is, you don't have to have any great scientific skills to do this. This is something, if you're just enjoy being in the outdoors and are interested in this, you can do it. It's pretty simple, it sounds like.
It really is. Really, that you will follow some directions to a specific spot, sit for 20 minutes, listen and look. It just really, with that many people out there sitting on trails, it makes them, again, a small army of, I don't know, pika awareness volunteers, because people just ask, why are you sitting? What are you doing? And it just gives you a chance to celebrate pikas for people who might not know otherwise.
I'm interested to know, maybe you can't answer this, but when people, are able to, quote, spot a pika, is it usually visually, or do they usually hear the sound? I mean, I would think, a small little animal, as you mentioned, potato size like that, isn't necessarily going to come hopping up toward a group of people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So pika, they live in those talus slopes, so those large rock piles, which is probably why they're able to survive at the lower elevation, by ducking into the cracks and crannies between those large rocks. They stay nice and cool through our hot summers. But you're right. They are shy. They are territorial, so that once you get an idea where one is, it'll be there for the rest of the season. But yes, it is, and this is how I know pikas, is that you're hiking along and you hear that really characteristic dog squeaky toy before they disappear into their hole. And so that's probably why how you'll see them in a survey plot. But for those that are just out hiking in the gorge this summer, be thinking of what a squirrel chatter sounds like and what all the different birds sound like. And then when something sounds more like a dog toy, you've got yourself a pika.
I was going to say, the squirrel chatter is a little more lower pitch than the pikas are. Based on
Mark, would you like to give it a try?
No, I would not. I will not. But I'll tell you that when I had the lead of this from the Oregon Zoo on the show, she did one. It was quite something on the show to hear it. I mean, it was she did. It was quite a high pitched a sound these little animals make. But anyway, let's again remind people again, OregonZoo.org is where you can go, but it sounds like, Danny, you need to wait a little bit to do this.
Yes. Please just give it a week or so before you really start looking. At the Discovery Center, we'll start advertising a little bit more widely once that link goes live. So just keep your eyes open. And then again, just calling the front desk of the Discovery Center here in a little bit. I'll make sure that they are empowered to walk you through the process to get you all set up.
Saturday, May 10th is when that's going to be 10 to noon at the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center in the Dalles. Something else you got coming up, I understand, and that is a wildflower and watershed festival.
Definitely. Yeah, on June 6th, 7th, and 8th, we are just collecting everything that we can find, different organizations, activities, speakers, that will help us celebrate kind of the spring and coming of summer. So we've got a mix of things already on the books, from a seed-saving class with Humble Roots Nursery. OSU Extension will be talking about smoke preparation. Friends of the Gorge will have a speaker with four services involved. And so people should keep an eye out for us getting the word out about speakers, classes. And then on Saturday, June 7th, there will be a large open house at the museum for people to come and drift by. We've got a children's book author coming. We will have activities. We'll be building birdhouses. And so at the Discovery Center, we are just lumping all, well, celebration of the season onto that June 6th, 7th, and 8th. And, of course, everyone's invited.
So a chance for people to learn about, number one, the wildflower part of this. The Discovery Center, I mean, you're fairly well known for around the grounds. The people can go out there and walk us with the trails there and really see a wide diversity of wildflowers from our region.
Definitely. Our grounds have just been meticulously managed to maintain the wild character or the success of the native plants there. And that really shines, of course, when the wildflowers start blooming. The arrowroot and the Columbia lomatium are blooming now for people if they'd like to come to our parking lot, walk around the museum and see the pond and the great blue heron that lives in it. And I have to give a shout out to Barbara Robinson, a long-term volunteer that has been kind of, captaining our grounds. And it was not long ago that I was walking with her. She was teaching me everything I needed to know. And I was standing from rock to not step on the plants. And she just started talking about how she had been scattering moss on the rocks for the last 20 years to get them started. And so I realized that I could not step anywhere without, interacting with all of Barbara's good work. So yes, people should come enjoy the wildflowers as they shift to their different ones as they bloom. But then, of course, in June is when we'll have lots of activities to help people kind of continue that celebration.
And watersheds, of course, a lot to be to learn about. I'm interested in there. We have so many groups in our area that are working on preserving our watersheds and improving the conditions for them.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a whole ecosystem of people that are fighting for and caring for and measuring our watersheds. Hood River Watershed Group will be at the open house, Columbia River Keeper, and then I've got invitations out to just about everyone I can think of, from Yakima Fisheries to Kritvik. And so, yeah, it would be a great time to come interact with some kind of fun family activities and then also kind of hear the stories of a lot of organizations that are working to keep our watersheds healthy.
And so we also should mention, Discovery is open every day as we are really heading into the busy season here pretty soon.
Definitely. Yeah. It would be the right time to walk around the pond and then retreat back into museum, maybe if it gets too hot, and get that spring shower going and see what we have to offer.
So again, go to gorgediscovery.org and you can check it all out. Danny Cosgrove's with us, Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. Danny, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
It is 8:48 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We'll come back. Need to tell you about, there's an event here. I just got word they moved where it is. And we need to tell you. We'll come back right after this.
Hello, this is Dr. Stanley with Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center. Do you have a finger that feels like it catches when you bend it or straighten it? Don't be tempted to ignore the problem. This can be the first sign of a trigger finger, and without treatment, you can end up with a finger that you can't move. At Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Center, our providers specialize in treating and healing wrist and hand pain, offering non-surgical and surgical options for trigger fingers and other ailments. Call 541-296-2294 or visit cosmc.org to schedule an appointment.
With warm weather fast approaching, now's the time to test your vehicle's air conditioning system. Not blowing very cold or not cold at all? It's time to call the experts at Precision Automotive. They're trained and certified to repair your vehicle's air conditioning system. And they offer same-day service at competitive prices. Give Chris or Alina a call at 541-296-5153 and get that AC blowing cool. Precision Automotive, 296-5153, or on the web at precisionautotd.com.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of fresh baked goodies, handcrafted treasures, and more. It's time for the Blossom Craft and Quilt Show, celebrating 28 years of kicking off craft season in Hood River. Explore 70 vendors offering everything from jewelry and patio decor to plants, quilting, and pastries. Rain or shine, we're blooming with fun. So grab your umbrella and sunglasses. You'll need both for the Blossom Craft and Quilt Show. This weekend, 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4 at the Hood River Fairgrounds. And let's spring into shopping.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:50 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I want to mention here, I just got word of this. The Run with the Wild 5K and 10K Walk and Run. Now, this is a fundraiser for the Wildland Firefighter Foundation. They apparently moved it. It's going to be at the they're going to start at the Marco Hatfield West Trailhead, the West Trailhead on the Hood River side, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. And you go to runreg.com to get all the information. Runreg.com, R-U-N-R-E-G is the site. Does a lot of registrations for runs. But they are still doing shuttle buses from down at the marina in Hood River, the DMV parking lot. Near Marina Green. Because there's not much parking up by the trailhead. So they will shuttle participants up from the DMV parking lot up to where the run will start. But again, apparently they're at the Marco Hatfield Trailhead West entrance to start tomorrow morning at 10. If you are taking part in that, take note of that. Other things going on. At White Salmon Binge, they got their community-wide yard sales and business sidewalk sales going on today through Sunday. You can get a map and chart of how long things are open and on what day, what time they're open through the Mountain Ames Chamber of Commerce and their Facebook page. Blossom Festival Craft Show is tomorrow and Sunday, 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday at the River County Fairgrounds. The Fiddle Fairy Violin Concert is tomorrow at 3. That's at the Dalles Wasco County Library. Parkdale Volunteer Fire Department Casino Night Fundraiser is tomorrow at Parkdale Fire Station. Dinner, bingo, blackjack, and Texas Hold'em. Cash and Venmo are accepted. Doors and dinner open at 5:30. Bingo starts at 6. Casino tables open at 6:30. That is a 21 and over event, of course. I will apologize. I don't have how much it costs for a ticket for this. But a very good cause. Also, another good cause... Derek Hughes, stand-up magician, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, Hood River Middle School Auditorium. All the proceeds benefit the Hood River County Education Foundation. Reserved seat tickets and more information at hrcef.org. Mosher Grange Cherry Blossom Buffet is going to be on Sunday. That's 11:30 to 3. That's going to be at the Grange Hall on 1000 4th Avenue in Mosher. $15 for adults, $5 for ages 6 to 12, and children under 6. They are free. It is 8:53 in the morning. We'll come back and tell you what we've got coming up next week on our little radio program. We do that right after this.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
It's official. Newsmax has become a news giant. It's even listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Over 40 million Americans regularly turn to Newsmax for the news they need to know. They're tuning into the Newsmax channel on all major cable systems. They watch Newsmax, too, on all streaming platforms. They go online to Newsmax.com for breaking headlines. Millions more have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone and home TV. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific, and he's watching. Tens of millions of Americans like you have made the switch to Newsmax for the news they can trust. So make the switch today. You won't ever look back.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Monday on the show, Lisa Commander is going to join us from the History Museum of Hood River County. And we'll talk to Lisa. They've got a fundraiser coming up here at the ruins in Hood River in a couple weeks. We'll talk about that. I think I've got it listed on our latest voluminous community calendar that is available at gorgeradio.com. I mean, we try to make it, if it's going on around here, we try to have it on there. And yeah, rolling on the river on the 26th of April, the ruins in Hood River. So we'll talk about that with Lisa. And Port of the Dalles Executive Director Andrea Claus is going to be with us Tuesday on the show. We will have with us Hood River County School District Superintendent Bill Newton. We will dive into the budget cut decisions. And we'll talk to the Mayor of White Salmon, Marla Keebler, Wednesday. Washington State Representative David Stebe, and we'll talk White Salmon Valley Schools with Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. Thursday, we'll talk Providence Hood River. Friday, we'll have with us Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich and Marty Cantola from Six Rivers Community actually, not from Six Rivers anymore. She's retired. I still have that listed. That's how badly I maintain this calendar. Marty is going to be here, and she'll talk about communication and other things. So we have pretty much a full week ahead on the show, which is always the way we like it. That's a good thing. Anything else I need to mention here? I'm not quite seeing anything that's really pressing here. Well, I can mention also Mid-Columbia Community Concerts in the Dalles. Country entertainer Trevor Panzak is going to be in concert on Tuesday evening at 7 over at the Dalles Civic Auditorium. Tickets are at midcolumbiacommunityconcerts.org, so you can check that out. Safe Space Children's Advocacy Center of the Gorge, they've got their open house coming up on Thursday of next week, 3 to 6. They'll be at the center on 206 Wasco Loop in Hood River. Call 541-436-2960 for more information on that. But yeah, we're getting busy. The event list is growing. We always tend to get busy right about this time of year. Of course, you're coming up on Cherry Festival in the Dalles. Tourist season, summer is in sight. We're not there yet, but at least it's in sight. Got some sunshine today, it looks like. It'll be a pretty nice day for a ball game. If you're in Hood River, Eagles baseball hosting Ida B. Wells today of Portland. I forget which school they used to be in Portland. 5 o'clock start. We'll have the game for you on radio on KIHR at 4:45 and on GorgeRadio.com. We're done. I am out of time. I'm Mark Bailey. Have a good day, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.